Hello, Christy. Hello, everybody.
Hello. I'm getting nervous that my computer is being extra slow today, but Scott, you are a co-host, so take the wheel if necessary.
I've actually never hosted a meeting before, so do I have to let people in? I was going to watch the chat for you and just kind of assist where I can.
I don't think there's we have to let people in, and I'm recording it, so it should be good. But if for any reason we need to like screen share or something, I think it'd be better if you did it.
Okay.
So it looks like we have a lot of the invitees here. We're waiting on Rochelle and then Council Member Haslam and Commissioner Thomas. I'm not 100% sure if they're coming. I didn't see one way or the other. So I was just going to provide a little context. Oh, there's Andrew Gruber. So Andrew Gruber, our Executive Director, has another previous obligation, but he is taking some time out for us to provide a lot of much needed input. So he's got about 15 minutes for that. So I think in the interest of time, we should go ahead and get started. You all should have received yesterday a summary of kind of how the things are going as far as the allocations that you as a governing body made to spend our CARES Act money through the CDBG program. Just as a quick reminder overview, we sent $100,000 to both Weber and Tooele Housing Authorities. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, everybody. Sorry, I was looking for an opportunity to jump in to say hello. It's nice to see you, Mayor, and at least to see Lance and Sean and Mike's names on the screen. Good to see everybody.
Thank you. So the housing authorities will get money and distribute the rental assistance through their already developed framework. And then the remaining funds, which amounts to around $300,000, were earmarked for small business grants. We have been working with the economic development professionals on the ground in each county to help us develop kind of a framework for how to best administer those funds. And what's been identified as a good path forward is that WFRC using administration funds from the grant will purchase the Zoom Grants application platform, which will allow all three counties to advertise and communicate with businesses about this platform, and they'll be able to apply. And WFRC, myself, will verify the eligibility of all the applicants and then send the applications to each individual county for them to determine how to rate and rank those applications, and then directly through their subcontractor agreement with Weber County pay those eligible entities that they've deemed to be the ones that they want to administer. So that's kind of the high level framework. Andrew, Scott, did I miss any key points?
Well, I know that we just have a few people that have joined since you started doing the summary. I know Rochelle from Tooele County and Holland's on from Weber County. Hello, Holland and Rochelle. Nice to see you guys. And just so you know, Rochelle and Holland, Christy was just going through and providing the overview of the administrative approach that we've been talking about for the $300,000 that the RRC decided at its last meeting, how that would be utilized, or that it would be utilized for the small business grants. And so, Christy, just maybe just a quick recap here with the 100,000 each from the 500,000 going to the Tooele and Weber housing authorities, and as you all in RRC decided, and then the 300,000 going for direct small business grants, and the sort of hybrid approach where WFRC, as Christy just said, will manage the application process through an online portal. And then when the applications come in, we will review them, confirm eligibility, and then share back with each of the counties who the eligible applicants are, right? And then each of the counties then would be able to make the determination about which actual grants they're going to award. And when I say, you know, counties, it's like that would be you all, like in Weber County, for example, the county working in whatever way you feel is appropriate with Mayor Allen and the other municipalities, whatever approach you feel like is right in terms of making that determination of what awards would be made. But you all would be in a position at each county level to communicate to your businesses that are eligible, give them the portal. We would do the back-end processing at WFRC and then share that information back to you. Here's your list of applicants and here's the ones that are eligible. So that's the, right, Christy, is that a fair recap of the basics of the administration consistent with the overall framework that you as an RRC established at your last meeting? So I just wanted to maybe just pause there and see if anybody has any comments or questions about that basic framework than before, because I know, Christy, you had outlined some topics that need discussion and decision by the RRC. So before we move on to those topics, maybe just pause to make sure that everybody's clear on the basic of the administration and see if anybody has any comments or questions about it.
Also, could we just find out who joined us on the phone?
Yes, yeah, somebody's participating from a 435 number and your name doesn't show up.
Is it star six on your phone to unmute?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. It's Kendall and Rochelle and Tooele. We have video, but no mics on the computer, so we have to talk to you by phone.
Oh, okay.
Oh, great. I'm glad you both can attend.
Great. And Sean and Councilmember Newton and Lance, you guys can hear us?
Yep, we're good.
Okay.
And what you said is exactly what was described earlier, so sounds great.
Okay.
Okay. So
Lance, just confirming. Lance, you're
I can hear and sounds good.
Okay, Sean, you too?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, cool. Okay, thanks, Christy.
Yeah, no problem. Just let us know when you have to jump off or whatever. You can give us a quick wave if you'd like. Okay, so now that we all are on the same page as far as administering the funds go, there are some questions that need to be answered for portions of allocating the funds in the way that was just described, which includes how we know how much money will be spent in each of the counties. So that is up for discussion. I know all of you have been at one meeting or another where this has been brought up, but we've never come to a conclusion on that. And so we thought it would be best to have all the groups that we've been talking with come together and have a singular discussion about it so that we can all be on the same page and provide input and come to a decision on that. Just to get the ball rolling, I'll throw something out that's been discussed, and that is distributing money to each county based on population. There was some concern that the population doesn't accurately reflect number of businesses or people patronizing those businesses. You do tourism and other things like that. So in order to kind of compromise and combat that, we could look towards what the state model uses to distribute the money to the AOGs, as that is a concern that pops up when determining how much money each AOG will get from the state, because the populations vary so much throughout the AOGs. And that is that each county would get a base amount of money from those funds, and then the remainder of those funds would be further split based on population, or, you know, if the group has ideas. I'm just trying to get the discussion rolling. That's kind of what's at the forefront of the discussion currently. So I'd like to hear any thoughts about that. And just as a starting point, for example, if each county were to get a base $50,000, that would leave around $150,000 to be then split based on population and added to that $50,000 for each county.
Christy, just let me offer a really brief supplement to that and then open it up. Just as a reminder, you know, this is the 300,000 of the 500. The 200,000 for housing authorities is already pulled off of that. So this is the distribution of the 300. And remember that up to 10% of the total 500 can be used for administrative costs. So every entity that's doing some administration here would be able to get reimbursement for their administrative costs. And then given that there's some work involved for each of the counties to get this thing set up and run it, it feels like it would make sense for there to be at least some baseline. And I don't know if, you know, Christy said perhaps 50, some baseline for each of the areas, so that it's worth their while. They can give off out enough grants that it makes sense to even set up this kind of program. So that's the sort of rationale in this potential hybrid that Christy's throwing out for your consideration.
And Andrew, thank you for bringing that up, because I did have a question that the administration fee, the $50,000, would be applied across the entire funding. So the housing authority would be privy to that as well. So that lessens the total amount that would come to the counties, I'm assuming, and to the housing authorities, however we divide up the administration fees.
Yeah, that's a good thing to also note, that because the housing authorities each got $100,000, they're able to spend up to $10,000 each on that, leaving around $30,000 for this group to then divide between our four entities.
Yeah, that makes sense that there would be sort of out of the money that goes to each of the housing authorities, that 100, they could spend a maximum of 10 of that. I mean, it seems like just in order to keep things clear and simple. And then for the 300,000, then there's, you know, another up to, it does, you know, it's a maximum, it doesn't have to be 30, but up to 30,000 out of that total 300 could be used for administrative costs, Holland. So thanks, that's a good clarification.
So with the admin kind of question hopefully answered for everybody, what are your initial thoughts on that proposed method of distribution?
My thought, this is Sean, it seems to be the most equitable way. We already have it established. That's the way it's been done. It's easy. And I hope it's something that everybody can agree to. If somebody has a better idea, though, I'm certainly open to hear it. It just seems like this would be the easiest approach, in my opinion.
Thank you for that input, Sean. And then another, beyond the question of having a base and then the rest being distributed with population, I'd also like to know if 50,000 sounds like a reasonable baseline.
This is Sean number two. Can you hear me today?
Yeah.
Friends, all right. Good. I don't love it, but I totally accept it as a compromise. The league and UAC have had a number of discussions in the last 4 or 5 weeks with the CARE Act having been out, and population has been noted. And so I don't want to beat a dead horse by saying much more other than it's continued to be a sticky widget for those that have a lot of transient visitors. So not having heard anything wonderful or a silver bullet, I think that what you're proposing sounds like a really good compromise, accepting that it is a compromise at that.
Thank you for your input, Commissioner.
This is Mike Newton, and I'm good with it as well. I think that sounds reasonable. You know, we're talking basically half as a baseline and the other half based on population.
Christy, this is Rochelle in Tooele. I think that's probably the most fair way to distribute the funds, like Commissioner Milne. I don't love it, but I would like to get the funding out there as soon as we can. The businesses are needing it, so it's the path of least resistance at this point, I think.
Okay, well, I'm happy that we have some agreement, although compromising agreement between all three of the counties. So that's positive. Members of the RRC, thoughts, Mayor Allen?
Yeah, any estimates, quick estimates on what that population would split that remaining 150? Any idea?
Maybe the people from the counties can help me out here a little bit. I do know off the top of my head that Weber County, excluding Ogden City, is sitting at around 170,000. And I only know that from recently looking at those numbers.
Okay, good.
Commissioner Milne or Councilmember Newton, if you have any insight onto your numbers.
We're about 12,000.
12,000.
And we are approximately 70.
Okay.
70,000 for those in the metro area, by the way. That's not to be taken literally as only 70.
Sure, Sean.
I missed that. I don't want to claim to be a math whiz and throw numbers out there based on that, but I mean, 127,000, 12,000, and 70,000. It can be inferred the majority of the remaining 150,000 will be spent in Weber County, and Morgan County being the least.
So what were those numbers? So 170, 12,000, and 70,000? Is that kind of what our estimates were?
Yes, 170.
Okay.
12,000 for Morgan County and 70,000 for Tooele County.
While the math whizzes do their work, I'm gonna sign off and leave you all in Christy's capable hands. Thank you very much. It's great to see and chat with you all. And sorry, it's brief on my end.
No, thanks for joining.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Okay, so we are really whizzing right along, which I'm happy about. I'm sure you guys are too. No one likes me to be talking at them. So according to our summary sheet I'm looking at, and I apologize, I'm looking at it on my phone because I don't dare open any other applications on my computer while I'm video chatting. How will the 300,000 be divided among the three counties? So that has been determined. And a next step on that is, unless the math whizzes are doing it now, and even if they are, I will do, you know, a double check and I'll crunch the numbers. Oh, we got a number, 60% for Weber County. Is that what I'm seeing, or?
Sorry, I was actually trying to type it. It's about 59.5 cents per person, per capita is what that works out to.
Oh, per capita, okay. Okay, so then if everyone wants to multiply the number by that, you want to hold it up again? Or was it point? So 25.95, I guess, if you don't want to round up. I see Mayor Allen crunching numbers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was I supposed to be crunching numbers?
I
was
just... Oh, no, I just thought you were. Okay. That's totally fine.
To, you know, so.
Way to go. You just for texting and multitasking, Christy. Jeez.
Yeah.
So sorry. So sorry. And of course, these are estimated numbers just based off the top of all our heads. So I'll definitely get on the census and get some actual numbers and do that. And also, it should be noted that when we've been working off the number 500,000, that was a little bit of a roundup. Our real number is 4,999 and like $500 or something. So we were very, very close to that 500,000 mark. And just for ease of conversation, we were going off of 500,000. So it'll be a couple of dollars less, but very minimally noticeable, if at all. So the other questions that are remaining are the actual application, what it looks like. I know we've had conversations, albeit not all together, about the actual application and the criteria on the application. I know all of you have been sent the link and have had access to look at what Mountain Land Association's the government's application looks like. They that's the same platform that we are going to use. And Mountainland has graciously agreed to pretty much just give us access to copy their entire application, and then we can just tweak it as needed. As I learned yesterday, it's kind of a big administrative lift to just make the application, although the platform is relatively easy to use, user-friendly. So in the packet that you received, Scott's got some numbers. I don't know if we want to look at the link or their application and go through it like that, or if we want to just talk about our eligible criteria. But sorry, circling back to what I started to say, is that I know we've all had conversations about, you know, how are we going to verify the LMI-ness of the applicants and ensure that we are following HUD guidelines. And there was talks about, you know, uploading your tax documents and all sorts of things like that. And then there was worry that these small businesses, you know, that kind of reporting and uploading could be the reason why they weren't able or didn't have the capacity to apply for these larger federal grants in the first place. And in talking with DWS, it seems that, you know, as long as we feel comfortable with our verification system, that should be enough. So in talking with MAG, they gave you the option to upload your tax documents, but it wasn't required. The things that they did require were profit loss statements from this year compared to last year, and then also income and residency verification. So if you're applying based on the business owner being LMI person, then the income verification of the business owner, or if you're applying because your employees are LMI, then you can submit payroll documentation, or if you're applying under the limitation that the population that I serves low to moderate income people, then we can use a tool that HUD has where you can basically draw block lines around the business and determine eligibility of income based on their website. So my very long-winded question to you is, what do we feel is an appropriate verification of their LMI eligibility? Or does anything I said make sense?
Christy, you said that HUD will accept what the counties think is reasonable. Is that right?
Yeah.
So what is the follow-up on this? I mean, is it the same as other CDBG grants? I mean, typically those projects are actually surveyed depending on their areas. So if we can make the Stats America tool or the CDBG eligibility tool easy, then I'm fine with that. But reducing the burden for these businesses is priority one, I think, and not making them try to, you know, figure out how to do that, income qualify themselves. But I'm just wondering, what's the risk to the counties of accepting it at face value versus asking them, and then maybe at a staff level, we do our own check on the HUD requirements. Like, what would HUD come back and ask the cities or counties to do?
For sure. So just to clarify, WFRC will do their own verification based on what we ask for to ensure that we're not sending you any applicants that aren't eligible as far as we are concerned. But there won't be any follow-up reporting after businesses have received money. The reporting will be HUD asking, why did you fund this business? So beyond taking it at their word, that is one of the reasons why MAG wanted profit loss statements from this year over last year, and also the income verification, and just to put into context how easy or available these documents are to these types of businesses, they put a cap on an eligibility requirement of theirs was that you have to be 20 employees or less. So these are small businesses. And they had, their application was open for 4 days, and they had around 200 applications, and all of them were complete. And they had only two business owners come back and say, I had a really hard time using this application. And that, I mean, not to be presumptuous, but, you know, not everyone is super tech savvy. So I don't know if that's an indicator that it was too much of an ask for them, you know.
I'm happy to share that application with everybody if you want me to put it up on the screen. It was emailed out, but I can put it up now if you want to talk about that, or if you want to get the eligibility question.
Let's answer the eligibility question really quick, and then after that, I think it would be good to go through their application. So I talked to Michelle Carroll, who's administering this for MAG, just to ask her general questions about Zoom and everything, which is the platform we'd be using, Zoom Grants. I shouldn't call it just Zoom. And she said that if she had one regret, and if she would do it over again, she would put a question verifying their income into the application, i.e. ask how many people are in your family and what was your income, and verify it that way. So once we have that, so that's not included in their application. So once we have kind of an answer on that, we'll be able to go through their application and see if there's any other changes we think should be made or added.
Well, just to get the question started, the income of the owner and then the employees, I mean, they need to qualify in both those aspects and be LMI there. And that's as far as I go. I mean, at that point, we've got a good parameter and can identify the level of need, and we'd be okay.
Yeah, I think that's good. And also, I think why they wanted to include the profit loss statements is that a stipulation of this money is that it has to be mitigating a COVID impact. So just because you're an LMI business owner, I'm not saying that there's like any unicorns that fit this situation where you weren't affected by COVID, but they just want to know, like, if it wasn't for COVID, this exact time last year, we were making this much, and now we're not making anything or whatever. So, I mean, I feel personally that we don't need to go above and beyond. And if that's been accepted for applications for someone already, and there didn't seem to be an issue with providing that documentation, then we just follow suit.
Yeah, why not?
I'm okay with that. If Mag's already done it and it seemed to work, let's not reinvent this.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, so just to sum up what we have left on the agenda, not that this necessarily needs to be worked out right now, but at some point the counties, so, you know, like Sean and Mayor Allen and Holland need to determine how Weber County is going to rate and rank their applications, same with Tooele and same with Morgan County, because HUD is requiring that we put that in our scope of work for the official application for these funds. So I don't want, you know, the whole group to have to eat up time doing that right now, but I do want to drive home a point that we will need that before we can start spending this money. And then some things that have been thrown around and haven't necessarily come to an agreement yet are the grant cap amounts. MAG capped their grant at $5,000, thinking that these businesses are small enough, they shouldn't have incredibly more expenses beyond that. But I've also heard voiced concerns that, is that going to be enough? Like, if we don't want to give too little to a business in attempts to help them out, and then it wasn't enough, and then they still aren't going to be viable. So I guess the question is, you know, do we want to put a cap that's a little bit higher, but have them provide proof that they're asking for how much they actually need? For example, if the cap's at 10,000 and they're asking for 7,000 and they're saying, oh, that's for my payroll, then we would ask for a payroll stub to prove that, you know, a month's worth of payroll or however much payroll they owe amounts to $7,000. Or just cap it at 10 or just cap it at 5. You know, obviously the higher the cap, the fewer the businesses. What are your thoughts?
Let's split it. Let's go cap it at 7,500. I don't know. I'm okay. I'm okay with a $10,000 cap. I think 5 does seem too small in my opinion, and I'd be okay with up to 10. So whatever anybody else thinks.
I agree. I agree with that. I want to make it money that's usable for businesses to be successful. So I know even we don't have to approve $10,000. And actually that's the question. If they apply for a certain amount, do we need to approve that full amount, or could we say you applied for 10,000, but to make the money go further, we can give you 8 or whatever?
I think personally that would be a question reserved for each county based on your rating and ranking criteria.
Okay.
That was going to be my what if. You know, our different counties are going to have different rental rates.
Right.
Different costs of living and everything else. So I wondered if we have to universally agree on this maximum per grantee, or if it matters. Because if we're all going to have our own judging criteria, can we also not have our own maximum?
I definitely see your point. It's definitely a good one. I'm weary about having no cap.
I'm not suggesting not having one. I'm just suggesting that Tooele County's, you know, square footage costs are going to be very different than Weber County's. And I'm only using one possible scenario here, because I'm not even suggesting that this could only be used for like the state's CRAP system, the commercial real estate program or rental assistance. Yeah, that's right. Commercial rental assistance program. I don't know who thought of the acronym, but it was a little bit of a marketing faux pas there. That being said, if we modeled ours off of, say, similar thing, that somebody applied and couldn't get awarded the GOED grant for that, our square footage costs are going to be very different from county to county. And even different places within my county, Wendover, Utah, is entirely different than Main Street, Tooele City, right? So I wasn't suggesting not having a cap. My suggestion was, do we all have to agree on what that cap is?
I think because we're all using the same application platform, there needs to be like some threshold at which like we're not going to give one business $30,000 or something like that.
I think it would be the other way. I think Tooele might say, in order to spread our funds and because our rental rates are lower, and Commissioner, you correct me, but maybe Tooele's cap is 5,000 or 7,500, but Weber County, because of its more urban nature, and you know, maybe costs associated with doing business might say, we think $10,000 will better serve our businesses. And maybe Morgan and Tooele have, you know, they look at their amount of funding and they say 5,000 is more appropriate for us. I don't think it would be bigger than that. I think okay. It would be more like reduction in the range in order to spread the funds out is the way I initially thought about it. But you guys tell me if that's the incorrect assumption.
This is a reference for only the older people who remember Mork and Mindy, but Nanu, you are reading my mind.
Okay, that makes sense to me. So yeah, I think that's something we could put in the description and just let everybody know. If you are in Weber County, you may receive up to 10,000. If you're in Tooele County, you may receive up to 5,000. I'm looking at Commissioner Milne, or Rochelle, or someone in Tooele County, but that could
be. This is Rochelle. I agree with Scott. I think we would probably want to have our cap lower than Weber County would, just so that we can spread our funds further with the smaller amount. Same with Morgan County. So yes, okay. You're right.
Okay. So that will be included in your like rating and ranking criteria, what your cap is, that will be something I have to work out on the application, but I will get it in there. And then once Morgan County decides what their cap is, they can let me know on that.
Yeah, we'll talk about it at Morgan County and try and figure that out.
Okay, perfect.
I mean, it won't go very far if we have a $10,000 cap. So more little or just a few a lot. The other thing I'd like to make sure that we can set our own cap and we can set the flexibility to say, they may ask for, and I'm just going to say 10,000, but we could say, well, actually, we've decided we're going to give more businesses a smaller amount. Can we somehow have that flexibility in the application so they're aware of that, hey, we might reduce what you're asking for rather than give you nothing.
Right. Yeah, I'll definitely on the upfront of the application list out any restrictions or limitations that there are, so people know before they go through the process of filling out the application.
I just want us to have the most flexibility when we're looking at all the applications that are there. Maybe we do want to give $3,000 to everybody.
For sure.
Yeah, it may well depend on how many applications we receive. Yep. So that's a good point, Lance.
Mag made me very nervous when they said they got 200 applications in 4 days. That's a lot of applications, but I understand fully that we're not Summit or Wasatch County. Okay, so Scott, do you want to pull up the application and we can go through it really quick and see what adjustments we'd like to make or not.
That should be the application, correct?
Yes, so this isn't what it would look like online. This is a PDF, so the formatting came out a little yucky. Scott, actually, do you maybe want to pull up the link instead? I know, I'm sorry, that might take you a minute to find it.
Yeah, let me, was the link sent in that email that you sent?
It was to, in the email I sent to you and Andrew, and also you and Holland and Councilmember Newton. Sorry, everyone.
Too many emails lately, Christy.
You found it?
No.
Oh.
If you have it, you can put it in the chat bar.
Yeah. I'm sorry if my computer gets very freezy and laggy. It does that when I try and do anything on the while I'm on Zoom. Sorry, I just think that the online application looks so much better, and we'd get a better feel for what it is we're actually looking at. Loading. Loading.
Sorry, everybody.
Oh, I found the link.
The Zoom grants link.
I will copy it in the chat. Boom. And then once you get to there, Scott, there should be a preview option that will let you preview the application without creating an account. Okay, so right here at the top, they've got their description, and that is where I imagine we could put, you know, you're eligible if you live in these three counties, you're not eligible if you live in Ogden City, or if your business is in Ogden City. And then, you know, if you live in X county, you can apply for up to this much, this county X much, et cetera, et cetera. Business requirements, obviously located in our area, 20 or fewer employees, current business license. So all of this to me makes a lot of sense, but I'd like your guys' thoughts on it.
Would this be hosted at a single point, but then shared by each of the counties, correct?
Yes, and it would be purchased and administered through WFRC.
Okay. Would it have a WFRC, so that an applicant would come through Weber County through maybe a portal on their website or a link that has been sent to them, but then it's ultimately a WFRC housed website. Is that correct?
Well, the website is a third-party platform, so even if they click on that link, they're not going to see, it's not going to have WFRC, I don't believe. Well, maybe it will.
Is the preview closed because they're not accepting applications?
Oh, yeah. So I guess all that was for naught. If we could go back to the PDF. Sorry, Scott.
That's okay. So I'll go back to
But essentially, it's very straightforward. Providing your personal information, providing type of business. Okay, perfect.
Number of employees, current number of employees, and then these are some of the areas where you could, to me, when I looked at this, you could add specific questions like, how has COVID-19 affected your business? Estimate of the revenue lost, how will grant funds be used? And then at the end, you have the elements that were the documents required. But it's a very simple application. It's these 19 or 20 questions and then those documents to send over.
Yeah. So I'll send this PDF to everyone so they can, after the meeting, so they can peruse through it. But in my mind, we're not changing anything. I guess the question, like some tiny tweaks that could be made are, do we think employee number of 20 is an appropriate threshold?
And then, Christy, would it be fair to say that this would be a basis for how the counties will rate and rank applications? Because questions like, are you a women-owned or minority or veteran-owned business would be an opportunity for a county to have a plus 1 point here, plus 2 points here, whatever. So I think that if we're all looking at the same type of application, this is the place that you would put in those rating and ranking type of questions for how you're going to score your businesses. You're going to have to have some sort of score around revenues lost or how the grants will be used or something like that to help you
have the businesses be eligible. Yeah. Yeah. So the nice thing about using this application platform is that you can export any of the data based on any of the questions. So I can easily, you know, compile that in an Excel spreadsheet for whatever of the questions that are going to be your priorities and send those over for easy analysis.
I'm wondering if, I mean, I don't want each county, I need a little flexibility at the county level, but this ought to be pretty consistent across the board. I don't know how you'd do that, but I would worry that Weber County goes a total different direction than Morgan for this same fund, and there's blowback on that. I don't know. Just a thought.
Do you mean in the way that they rate and rank their specific applications?
Yeah. Hmm. So, you know, if we're giving a bonus point for woman-owned and, you know, but Weber County isn't and that type of thing, I don't know. It's just the thought that it should be a little bit consistent across the board. Some areas of flexibility might be more specific to local counties, but.
Yeah, some things that I've heard from other AOGs doing similar types of things are a lot of their main concern are, you know, have you received assistance, other assistance, which is question number 10, how much other assistance have you had, will this help you retain your employees, how many employees will this help you retain, really like the, in their minds, getting at the highest need rather than the demographic, if that makes sense.
I like that. Is that something we could change some of these to? I mean, I would much rather highest and best need than minority owned. Just
right. And yeah, for sure. The main reason why minority owned is in there is because HUD likes to keep track of that.
Gotcha.
So,
well, and it could be on there and we we maybe don't use that as necessarily a point ranking. Maybe it's just on there.
For sure. And again, that'll be determined by the counties individually. You know, if Weber County wants to put more emphasis on if they've received other funding or not than number of employees retained, and, you know, Morgan County wants to do vice versa, then they can do that. But those are kind of the questions that hit the highest economic needs in my mind. Not to say that's all of them, but just to give an example. Okay.
Christy, did you share with us MAG's ranking criteria as well? I don't remember if I saw the actual ranking criteria.
They also let the counties rank them themselves.
Okay. Could we get an idea from Michelle Carroll or somebody how Summit, Wasatch, and Utah counties, how much they may have differed, just so that these are our counties know? Like they, I don't know. I mean, they may have let them rate and rank them themselves, but I'm just interested to know how differently they ranked them. Is that worth exploring?
Yeah, it could be definitely worth exploring. And I will say that I don't think Utah County went this direction, but Summit and Wasatch counties did. So this has been a super helpful conversation for me. I think I personally feel like I have a very clear path forward on next steps, which include, well, it sounds like the numbers have already worked themselves out. And I don't know if that, Scott, that was based on census data or just our general ballpark areas, but general, okay. So then I'll work on the census population numbers to determine how much each county will receive, and then the counties, and I'm happy to facilitate or help with any conversations based on how you're going to rate and rank your applications that you receive, which include your preferred cap on award amount. Other than that, I will work with Mountainland Associations of Government to have them kind of copy paste over their application to me, so I don't have to recreate the wheel. And then I'll change the applicable changes, like Morgan, Tooele, Weber County, not Summit, Wasatch. I'll adjust the description to include your predetermined award cap amounts. And then I will also include something that they didn't include, which is the income and residency verification, so that it's a little bit easier of a lift on the end. I can export that data into an Excel spreadsheet and organize it and verify it that way. Because we are all in agreement on administering the funds, we've come to a compromise agreement on how to split the funds. Next steps are what I just outlined, and then maybe meeting back with the group to review our proposed application. And then we also need to agree on a timeline. I don't know how long the counties feel they need to advertise, talk with businesses, and then have it be open. Like I mentioned before, MAG only had theirs open for 4 days. I don't know if, I doubt they predetermined how long it would be open for, because they didn't anticipate, or they had no way to anticipate the load that they would get, but they felt that having already 200 applications in 4 days, and they could only fund, I think they said somewhere around 70 businesses or something like that. You know, there was really no benefit to keeping it open longer. But those are things that we need to also work out moving forward. How long do you guys think you need to, I guess it would help to have the application prepared first before we come up with that timeline. So that's just something to think about in the meantime. Any questions or comments or concerns or confusion kind of moving forward?
This is easy math, so I'm sure that everybody did it, but $300,000 into $5,000 grants is 60 businesses. So depending on the larger or smaller, you're probably somewhere between 45 and 60 businesses total across three counties that will impact. So depending on how this is marketed out there, a week or something is probably plenty of time for those businesses to fill the application out and get it back to you.
Okay.
I would agree.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Councilmember and Scott. Okay. And then I anticipate maybe just for transparency, we say it'll be open for 4 days, 5 days, something like that. Okay. Well, I don't know the protocol on this because this is new money that I've never sent before. So I don't know if we need to, as an RRC, vote to approve, both the administration and the method of distribution for this, but just to CYA, maybe someone can make a motion.
Do I have a motion based on what Christy has just discussed and what we have informally agreed to already?
I will make that motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mayor Allen, second by Lance. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you guys all so much. This was super helpful. I feel like I have a clear path forward on this unprecedented activity that we're doing. The rest of the agenda is just regular CDBG RRC items. So if the economic development folks have somewhere to go or don't want to stay on, no hard feelings. And I appreciate your participation. Thank you, Commissioner. And I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you.
Okay. I am happily surprised how smooth and fast we got through those items. So as crazy as this sounds with everything going on, the regular annual CDBG funding cycle continues. Normally in May, annually, we review and discuss updates to the rating and ranking criteria, which were sent packet on 12th. The main items that we discuss every year pertain to max award amount, which I feel as our solution last year was more than adequate, which just as a refresher is that one entity can only receive up to $250,000 regardless of number of applications. So the main item for discussion is project activity priority. So that's safety equipment, housing activities, infrastructure, public service, and the other one I didn't say. So I have it pulled up. I apologize, it's gonna take a minute because like I said, when I do anything on my computer, it lags real, real bad. Before I forget, we also need to approve our minutes from our regular May RRC meeting, February.
Has everybody had a chance to review those? And if so, do I have a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll move to approve.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
All right, motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. Minutes are approved.
Thank you. I don't know if you guys can hear my super obnoxious doorbell ringing. I've tried to change the tune so many times, and no matter how many times I change it, that's what it is. It is so obnoxious.
Classic.
Well, for Elise, you know, Brian, that's what that is, right? To brighten up your day. I'm just glad it wasn't accompanied by the usual dog bell that accompanies the doorbell, but that's good. Okay, the circle is almost full. Okay. So currently our priorities are as follows. That was a little preemptive. Okay. So if you look on it has to load every page one at a time. I think it's going to be page 10 of 19. Yes. Okay, perfect. So our regional project priorities from lowest amount of points awarded to highest, lowest being public health and safety equipment, then community facilities or removal of ADA barriers, then public service activities, then low to moderate income housing activities, and then the highest amount of points awarded are for public utility infrastructure. So the broad general question is, does that still accurately reflect the priorities in our communities, or do we need to adjust?
I think it's fine.
Okay.
If you ask, it depends on who you ask at Weber County.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Melissa Freegang from our Prosperity Center of Excellence will tell you that housing is definitely the number one priority. But recognizing there are a lot of needs out there other than just housing, I'm okay with where we're at.
I guess one other question that came up kind of during the scoring of the previous application cycle is do we want to, A, and B, is it something that we would be interested in creating a criteria that would give a little bit of extra points to housing activities because they score so poorly?
That is the conversation that I had with her this morning, honestly. And I think you'd find some support from Weber County for that. I don't think it has to be much, but the housing projects have done poorly compared to some of the public infrastructure projects. They just can't compete. So it might be good to look at that and determine what could be done to make it just a little bit more competitive.
Yeah, just to be transparent there, it could be argued that question number 3 kind of does do that. The question being, right. being related to the moderate income housing plan. Housing projects are the only projects I can think of that would implement the moderate income housing plan. So arguably number three does just that.
I will admit we've had this conversation in the past, and it may even have been before you were in this position, Christy. It may have been back with Lanise. Mm-hmm. But I think we did address it. So what if it doesn't happen? I mean, that's the way it is, and that's okay. Because I think we have tried to do that over the years, and we've gotten to the point where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good to know. One option that maybe we could explore is looking at criteria number two, which is awarding points based on how much housing you're providing. And I think just due to the high cost of housing projects, maybe, you know, creating, like for example, what I'm saying is that, you know, two housing units is 1 point, 3 to 4 is 2 points, 5 to 6 is 3 points. I can't imagine at any point being able to fund any housing type of project that is, you know, 7 to 8 housing units or 9 to 10 or above 10. So maybe awarding, you know, or maybe even eliminating the 9 to 10 and then 10 and above, and just saying 7 to 8 and then 8 and above, even by that little amount. And then for two housing units, 2 points instead of one, and for 3 to 4, 3 instead of 2. I mean, I know that is so minuscule, but I'm just trying to brainstorm, you know, any possibility. If that's something that the entire group is interested in pursuing, although, you know, especially with Weber County's input and just echoing what Sean said, if Weber County is okay with it, it seems like it's still fair enough. So putting it out to the group.
You're trying to fund more than two units on $250,000.
Right.
Even that's pushing it.
Right. Sorry, Lance, did you have something to add?
Yeah, and I was just going to say, I mean, I think same thing. Make it 10 points per unit. Would it make a difference?
10 points would make a very big difference.
So how much do we want to mess with that, and where do we draw the line? I don't know.
Right. When it comes down to it, depending on the year and depending on the projects, it's just so hard, you know, as you all know, it changes every year. It's still mostly infrastructure projects. But sometimes it does come down to 1 point or right. 2 points. So,
Sorry, go ahead, Christy.
I mean, I was just going to say, even if for a test trial I hate calling it that, but for lack of a better word, even if we, you know, add 1 point to each and see if that helps housing projects, maybe that's not sufficient. I don't know. Sean, go ahead.
I agree. I think we could do that. Even if you just said, let's double the first three or something, like, I don't know, but even adding a point to them, I think would be okay to do. In order for a housing project to succeed, it's got to bring a huge match to the table. That's the only way they're going to get more than two units, is if they have additional funding from somewhere else that they're bringing in so that they can build a 5 or 6 housing unit project or something like that. So they'll get points in the match. They'll get points here. They've got to have additional help in order to do well in this process. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. But, you know, if we can add a point or two here or there, I think that's okay.
Okay, perfect. Well, we don't need to take any motion on that today. We generally take a motion on that in our August meeting, but this is just a good opportunity to get the ball rolling and be prepared come August so that we're not discussing changes in August, but able to kind of do a final review and approve in August. So that's great. Great feedback.
Christy, I have just a point of information, I guess, on the rating and ranking criteria. Public infrastructure is important. I'm battling in my mind as to whether housing and public infrastructure should be swapped with between 5 and 6. Public infrastructure has other funding availabilities, bonding, and various other things that housing doesn't necessarily have access to. I don't know, just some thought.
That's a really good point, Rochelle. And just to build off that, you gave me the idea that, you know, while we still will probably get the highest number of infrastructure applications, and that can still be our quote unquote highest need plus priority, having housing be number one would be one additional way for housing projects to get that one additional point, while still, I don't think, tipping the scales so much that public infrastructure projects won't be extremely competitive. Are there other thoughts that the group has on doing that swap?
I'm okay with that.
Let's at least do a tweak in that direction.
Okay. And again, we don't have to vote on anything right now. You know, come August, I'll send you the updated criteria, and you guys can take a look, and we can go from there. All right, my pen's dying on me.
Here, you can use mine.
Give it to the food delivery guy when he gets there, and he'll bring it over.
Okay, yeah, sure. How was your lunch there, Sean? Was it okay?
Oh, it was great.
Okay, good. I can't. I'm just
my Thai curry kitchen. It's fantastic. So.
Great. So, this has been a great meeting, if you ask me. Not because of me, but because of the discussion. It's been great. when I said it, I was like, did that sound like I was bragging? Because I didn't mean to be a brag.
That's okay.
I meant it as I have, the discussion has been really, really helpful. So last thing we had on the agenda was kind of just moving forward. And again, this isn't something we have to decide right now, especially considering that we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen in the future regarding coronavirus. But taking into consideration that a lot of you have to drive quite a ways to come to our meetings, what are your thoughts and opinions on future, not necessarily immediate future, but way into the future? Do you like these Zoom meetings? Is the lunch worth the commute? You like getting out of the office? You hate
seeing not the lunch, but the company certainly would be worth it. However, this is working very well for me.
Okay. And also just note that a hybrid is completely not difficult. If and when WFRC offices are open again, and some people can make it in person and some people can't, we have the infrastructure there to easily include anyone who can't make it via Zoom. But no permanent decisions have to be made. I just kind of wanted to glean or see how you guys are feeling about it.
I think this way works great. How many do we do every other month? What do we do? Once a quarter?
A quarter, yeah.
Once a quarter. I think we ought to have one in-person meeting of a year. I think that'd be okay. you know, and depending on, I guess, the time of year, you know, maybe we, of course, do the winter one and, I don't know, look at the weather and say, you know, hey, winter, we do it as Zoom, and maybe, you know, this one we do live or something. We do, we head down there and we all get together. But I don't know, I wouldn't mind doing just once a year down there.
Christy, the August meeting is when we actually do the rating and ranking and make those decisions. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So maybe that's the meeting that's in person, and maybe the others are just Zoom.
Yeah, I like that. I think that would work. I mean, I'm sure I'll be coming down for Regional Growth Committee and you know, the other one. So I'm down there enough. I don't need you know, go down again. Can... I surely don't mind coming down, but, you know, Morgan and Tooele, I mean, it's been more times than once or twice that Tooele has been stuck on the freeway, you know, so I think it'd be much nicer for Tooele at least. I know Morgan just loves to come down to the big city, so.
And of course, it can be on a case-by-case basis. I just, I didn't want to make the assumption that everyone loved this better and cancel all the in-person meetings or whatever. And Lance, if you want to still come down, you and I can sit in the WFRC board meeting and eat lunch in front of everybody on the Zoom meeting.
On the Zoom meeting. That's what I want to do, is eat in front of others on camera.
No. Okay, perfect.
Well, we've appreciated the hybrid, as Mayor Allen stated. We called in one day while we were sitting on I-80 due to a fire, so I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, yeah, that wasn't the only time over the years, I think.
No, it's not.
Everybody has been stuck, you know. So, man, if you get the county helicopter up and running, you could just, you know.
That's a great idea. We're going to send Commissioner Thomas to get his pilot's license.
There you go. Do we have a heliport on top of the new building there, Christy?
Oh.
I'm sure Andrew has a secret heliport up, or a landing pad up there. I don't know.
We have a, I can like see up onto the roof. That's my view outside of my window in between our building and another building that's big enough for a helicopter, but they don't even allow me to walk on there. And unless that's a personal attack on my health level, I don't know if they would allow that.
All right. No, that's a great idea. Let's do it. Let's plan on August to, you know, coming down and enjoying each other and having some lunch. And I don't know.
Let's hope that's a viable option come August. Fingers
crossed. Yeah, that's true. We may not be able to do it even in August. Oh, for please sure. Don't say that. Please. We're talking football season right now, and we have some anxious parents wanting to play football already.
I bet.
We'll play baseball here in about a week and a half, though. So.
Oh, good.
So, can have some baseball games. Kids are getting excited. So.
I was listening to a podcast this morning about sports and the whole hubbub around everyone being very concerned about when sports are going to open. And they were talking about, or maybe it wasn't, I heard it somewhere, time is nebulous. Anyway, and they were talking about in Park City, I think, or somewhere, they were going to open a tennis ball. Okay, forget Park City, but they were going to open a tennis facility so that people could start playing tennis again. But you have to bring all of your own balls, and you're not allowed to touch anybody else's balls, and you're only allowed to kick them. But tennis is becoming a thing again. I don't know how you'll keep track of which tennis ball is yours and which one is someone else's, but
who knows.
So we are, that is pretty much everything we had on the agenda. I know everyone loves leaving a meeting early. We have 10 minutes. I don't know. I want to leave on a positive note. Who has a positive story they can tell us before we sign off?
Well, like I say, Little League, or we got some competition, little baseball starting on the 30th. We are excited. You know, I'm going to go down there and sell candy and pop, and we're going to almost be back to normal. So we're excited. See how it goes. So
homeschooling is over after this week. That is my positive.
That's positive.
That is positive.
I am not a good teacher.
Oh, because summer break.
Okay. That's right. That's right.
I can't wait. My kids are even more anxious than I am, I think.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, that's true.
So good.
Thank you all. We appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks, guys. Great meeting, Christy.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
Bye.